This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Blonde Date, an Ivy Years novella, written by Serena Bowen, performed by Saskia Marleveld and Nick Podell.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Andy. With a growing sense of panic, I pawed through the clothes in my narrow little dorm room closet. For 5 long minutes, I'd stood there inspecting my shirts, tossing them one by one on the bed. That was 4 more minutes than I'd ever spent before trying to decide what to wear, but I still didn't have a freaking clue. It was time to call in the big guns. Luckily, my older sister answered on the first ring. "I need a consult," I said. Delia was in med school, and you got further with her if you spoke in medical terms.
"Where does it hurt?" she asked.
"I have a date, and I don't know what to wear." Her laughter was so loud that I had to hold the phone away from my ear.
"How old are you?"
"Old enough to ask for help when I need it."
"Fair enough. What's the occasion?"
"That's the tricky part. First, there's a charity bit where I'm helping a bunch of sorority girls with their community project, setting up a Christmas tree or something." Delia laughed again.
"What do you know from setting up a Christmas tree, Jew boy?
How hard could it be?" "But there's also a tree lighting and, like, cocktails." My sister mused.
"And where does this event take place?"
"In their preppy white sorority house with the big columns on the front."
"Well, this really could go either way, casual or dressy."
"That's what I was afraid of. How should I play it?"
"Who's the girl? Anyone special?"
"Why, yes. But I wasn't going to tell my sister that. Just hearing this girl's name gave me a thrill. Katie Vickery. When she'd called to invite me to this thing, she'd opened with, 'You don't know me.' But she'd been wrong. Very wrong. I knew exactly who she was. In the first place, if you were a lonely junior at Harkness, noticing the Frosh girls was like your job. And she made my job easy. I'd picked out those long legs the very first time they'd walked into my art history lecture, and, lucky me, summer's warmth had held on an extra week or two this year, treating me to a steady parade of Katie's short skirts every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. The most attractive thing about her, though, was her laugh. It was deeper and huskier than you'd expect from someone so slight and fair. I loved the sound of it. Whenever I heard her laugh, my brain took a short trip around the block. God, she was hot. But she also had unattainable practically stamped on her forehead. Because Katie was the sort of girl that everyone noticed. And I wasn't even a little bit surprised when she started sitting with the football crew during lectures. I didn't dwell on this. Girls like Katie Vickery were out of my league. And I didn't bother to sit around wondering why. Some things just were. As the fall semester wore on, Bridger, my next-door neighbor, started spending a lot of time with Katie's roommate, Scarlett. So I sometimes overheard updates about Katie. Scarlett mentioned that they sometimes went jogging together. After that, Katie's long legs began loping through my dreams in spandex shorts. But that wasn't a premonition or anything. It was just the work of a shy guy's subconscious. In a million years, I never thought I'd be standing here, dressing for a date with her. And if she hadn't invited me out of sheer desperation, I wouldn't be.
Earth to Andy, my sister prompted. I asked you a question. Is the girl anyone special?
We don't really know each other, I admitted. She dumped her football player boyfriend a few weeks ago and needed a date for this thing. Enter me.
So this is a date of necessity. But how did you get the nod? She must not know your track record with women. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
My sister snickered. Come on now, Dee. If I wanted to be mocked, I would have called my other sister. Our younger sis was kind of a bitch. You remember Bridger?
Who could forget him? Delia asked.
My neighbor was kind of a stud with the ladies. Well, this whole thing was his girlfriend's idea.
I knew I liked that guy, Delia said.
But of course she did. All the women did.
And his girlfriend has good taste, too.
In me? Or in Bridger? I teased.
Both. And this sorority girl is going to love you. You're pretty cute for a skinny guy.
I didn't have time to argue with her. But even if it was true, pretty cute for a skinny guy probably wasn't going to be enough to win me Katie's undying affection.
I'd been invited on this junket because the newly single Katie was apparently done with football players. And jerks of all stripes, Scarlett had explained. I told her, Andy is absolutely not a jerk. For a second, I felt awesome about that. But then I'd realized that being absolutely not a jerk also wasn't enough of an endorsement to fill the utter void that was my love life. Oh well. Are you going to help me or what? I prodded. Of course. So you want to impress her, but you don't want to look like you're trying too hard, my sister said. Exactly. So tell me what to wear, while I'm young if possible. Well, when the Jew boy goes to the Christmas tree lighting at the Waspy sorority house, he should always wear nice pants. You have some wool trousers, right? I looked at the three pairs I draped over my desk chair. Won't that be too dressy? Not if they're khaki-colored. How about the ones you wore when we saw that show in Boston? How did she even remember that shit? If Delia asked me to name three items of clothing that she'd ever owned in her lifetime, I couldn't do it. I lifted the pants off their hanger. All right, what else? The shirt should be a dark color. Dark blue, maybe? With the collar open. Whatever you do, don't button that sucker all the way up. Wear a t-shirt underneath, and it's okay if the t-shirt is visible at the collar. That takes you one notch back toward casual. And no tie. See? This is why a guy called his sister. I hopped into the pants using one hand. And the shirt is tucked in, right? Tuck it in! Absolutely. Unless you really don't want to get laid. I laughed and had to grab the phone to keep it from hitting the floor. That's not happening. Are you saying that because you're talking to your sister? Or because you really believe it? Why? Are you doing a psych rotation at school or something? I pulled a clean t-shirt over my head. I was only teasing about your record with girls. You know that, right? You're a catch, Andy. As long as you tuck your shirt in. That must be what I've been doing wrong. My sister laughed. Your only real problem is confidence. I stuffed my feet into a pair of shoes. Am I wearing a jacket too, or just my coat? Your plain black sport jacket. It still fits, right? God, I hope your arms aren't getting any longer. Because you're already kind of like an orangutan. And you wonder why I don't have any confidence, I mumbled. Kidding! But seriously, if the jacket sleeves are too short, then skip it. And you need to shine your shoes. I don't have time. What? When is this date?
10 minutes.
Andrew Isaac Bashnagel! Did you shower and shave?
Yes, Mom.
Hang up and go meet your girl. Crap. I wanted you to send a picture before you left, in case you need tweaking.
No time for tweaking. Bye, Delia. Thanks.
Bye, orangutan.
She clicked off. Delia loved getting the last word. But never mind. I put on exactly what she told me to. I hung up the pants that hadn't made the cut. Then, shoving my keys and my wallet into a pocket, I ran out the door and down the entryway stairs. Checking my phone, I saw that I had plenty of time. It was a 2-minute walk to Katie's dorm, and I had twice that. My phone buzzed with a text from Delia. Good luck with the wasps, String Bean. Holding up my phone and grinning like a dork, I took a selfie and sent it to her. The clothes look great, but you're hopeless, she replied. That was probably true. And I'd never admit it to my sister, but she wasn't totally off base with her remark about my confidence. Some guys just had a kind of swagger that worked for them. My neighbor Bridger, all he had to do was walk into a room and the girls hurled themselves at him, like moths at a window screen on a summer night. But what was swagger, really? It came from the belief that hot girls wanted to take you to bed. So to acquire it, you'd need at least a little evidence that this was true. Yeah, I didn't have that. All I had was evidence that a hot girl needed a date for a party. But that was better than nothing, right? And I'd have a couple of hours in the company of the lovely Katie Vickery. Life could really be worse. Apparently Delia wasn't done with me, though. When my phone buzzed again, she'd written, "Ask her out on your way home tonight. Don't chicken out." I hadn't thought that far ahead, but my sister was a smart girl. Okay, if things go well, I'll do it, I replied. If you do, I'll buy you a sundae at Lou's. If you chicken out, I win a sundae. That seemed like a perfectly good incentive to do something that I already wanted to do. Deal, I replied.
Chapter 2. Katie. After much deliberation with myself, I'd straighten my hair until it hung in golden sheets around my shoulders. It was a kick-ass look on me. Straightened hair said, "I'm here to shine, and I will go that extra mile, so don't you dare mess with me." Actually, it probably only said, "I am handy with the straightening iron," but whatevs. Either way, it gave me confidence, and confidence was in short supply this week. Unstraightened hair, on the other hand, made a different statement. It said, "I am an effortless beauty, and you'll just have to take me as I am." But nothing felt effortless lately, and effortless was just a little too close to careless for my comfort. And I would not appear careless. So I'd spent an hour on my hair, and now it was straight enough to be featured on somebody's geometry exam. I pushed the hair off my bare shoulders and assessed my outfit. "What do you think?" I asked my reflection in the mirror. "Is the neckline too much?" My reflection didn't answer, but my sweet mate Katie did. "There's no such thing as too much. You look hot in that dress." "Thanks, K2. "Anytime," she said, plopping down on my bed and making herself comfortable. During the first week of school, a smoking hot lacrosse player had nicknamed us K1 and K2 because we were both named Katie. "But why does she get to be K1? The other Katie had asked at the time, employing the flirtiest pout in the world.
"Sweetheart, K2 is an awesome nickname," the LAX guy said. "Because K2 is a big mountain, and well..."
He broke off on a chuckle, his eyes right on her ample cleavage. The other Katie had grinned, then hitched up her bra. "I guess I can wear that name with pride."
"You wear it well," the guy had said, leaning in to kiss her cheek.
About 15 minutes later, they were lip-locked against a tree in the backyard of the frat house, and I, in my A-cup bra, was totally envious. And that LAX player wasn't the only one who thought of us as a pair. Our roommate Scarlett called us Blonde Katie, that's me, and Ponytail Katie. Others simply referred to us as the Katies. Together we'd hit the party scene hard these past 3 months. I'd begun the year with a kind of "I am fresh woman, hear me roar" attitude. I loved college, and it loved me back. I'd thought so anyway. But 7 nights ago, I'd hit a sour note, and his name was Dash McGibb. Even though I was a generally upbeat person, my bad experience with Dash had left me feeling uncertain about everything. My choices, the company I kept, this dress. I fiddled with the silky draping neckline, wondering if I should change. I probably wouldn't, though. I'd already tried on everything in my closet. Selecting a pink lipstick, I pursed my lips for the mirror. "I can't believe you're going to this party with a basketball player," K2 scoffed from my bed. "The team record so far this season is 1-for-4. The lipstick prevented me from answering her immediately, which was a good thing. It gave me time to reconsider my snarky reply, which would have been to ask Katie how her basketball game was looking this year. She and I ran 3 miles exactly once per week. Neither of us was athletic. We only jogged on Sundays as penance for our chocolate chip cookie addiction. "Is it?" I asked instead. "Then losing is something that Andy and I will have in common, because my dating record this year is 0-for-2. She rolled back onto my bed, her skinny knees pointing to the ceiling. "Just because both of your boyfriends turned out to be duds is no reason to sell yourself cheaply." "Geez, Katie, I'm not a horse up for auction." Her words ricocheted inside my brain, especially one of them, cheaply. My stomach gave a little lurch at the word. My mother used it a lot. Cheap was not how the Vickery women were supposed to behave. But I hadn't needed this guidance, and now I was paying the price. K2 gave me a wounded look. "It's just an expression." "I know, sorry." I tried to change the subject. "Have you seen my Stila eyeshadow?" Whoops. She got up and ran off to her own room in our little suite. The first week of school, I was positive that Katie and I, with our matching names and our matching Prada suitcases, were primed to take over the world. We both ruled our high schools. We were also in agreement on exactly which sort of guys we wanted to date. Athletes, of course. We were here to party with whoever did it best, and whoever was the best looking. In contrast, our third roommate, the tight-lipped Scarlett, had seemed a lot less fun. I'm not proud of it, but I'll admit that I'd kind of written her off by the third week of the semester. But recently I'd learned that she'd had damned good reasons to be cautious and quiet. And tonight I found myself wishing that it was Scarlett who was home with me. The attack of insecurity I faced right now was bigger than a fashion crisis. I needed the support of a friend who knew about life, and not just what to wear for it. I hadn't told a soul yet about the crappy little thing that had happened to me last week, and now that I was primping to go to a party where I'd probably end up face to face with the jerks who'd embarrassed me, I could have used a pep talk. K2 came back into my room with my eyeshadow, and when my phone rang, she grabbed it off my dresser to look at the screen. "It's your mom." "Crap. So don't pick up." She did another belly flop onto my bed. "Thought I'd been ducking her." I took the phone from Katie and answered it. "Hi, Mom." "Hello, sweetie. Getting ready for your date?" "I am. And if you knew that, why would you call me now?" "I've been making plans for the holidays. We're having the Iversons visit for the weekend before New Year's, and then I thought we could pop into the city to see a play," my mother said. "Mm-hmm," I said. "Sounds fine." But my attention was still on the full-length mirror I'd installed on the back of our closet door. Specifically, I was trying to decide if the pearl earrings I'd put on made my dress look less slutty, or had I only managed to convert the look into slut with pearls. "Have fun tonight," my mother said. "Are you wearing something pretty? The girls of Tri-Sci knew how to throw a good party in my day." "Thank you. I will have fun," I said, ignoring the question about my outfit. One had to wonder what my mother's idea of a good college party had been. Surely alcohol didn't enter the picture, at least not for the girls. And my mother would never sanction any activity that might rumple a girl's twin set. Mom was a first-class good girl, and in spite of massive evidence to the contrary, she assumed that I was one too. "Is this boy who's taking you to the party a gentleman?" "Of course he is," I said. And it might even be true, though gentlemanliness had never been high on my list of important qualifications for a date. And last week I'd finally paid the price. "Good," Mom said. "Yeah," I said, distracted. "Say yes, darling," my mother corrected. "Yeah sounds cheap." "Yes, Mother," I intoned. "I should go. He'll be here in a minute. At least I hoped he would. It would stink to be stood up tonight of all nights. But after all that had gone wrong this week, I probably wouldn't even be surprised." I hung up the phone and spun around. "Okay, last call here. Are you sure this dress doesn't look slutty?" My fingers worried the fabric between my breasts. Gently, Katie swatted my hand away. "First of all, we don't use the word slutty when referring to ourselves. And that dress looks sexy as all hell. In the best possible way. I hope your basketball player brought a hanky to wipe up his own drool." She got up off the bed and turned me around by the shoulders, so that I was facing the mirror again. "The dress is navy blue, K1. It's an anti-slut color, and the contrast with your hair is just awesome. Use your eyes, babe." "Thanks," I whispered, trying to see things her way. The dress I'd chosen was cut in a halter style. Until tonight, I had never stopped to wonder why we were dressing up for this weeknight party, where charity work was supposed to happen too. But sorority girls, I'd discovered, were always looking for an excuse to get dolled up. Yet when guys were around, which was always, we were supposed to be grateful if they'd worn khakis instead of sweats, and a button-down instead of a faded Harkness t-shirt. In fact, if they wore their baseball caps frontwards instead of backwards, that was dressy. Double standard, much? I dabbed the eyeshadow applicator into the silver shadow and skimmed it across one eyelid and then the other. Once more, I squinted critically at the girl in the mirror. The dress showed a lot of shoulder, but it wasn't too short, which was important. I needed to be able to bend over tonight without giving anyone a show, and the halter top had just enough coverage that I wouldn't expose my cleavage if I leaned forward. "You look great. Now go," Katie prompted, swatting me on the rear. She gave me a smile in the mirror and slipped out of my room. I slipped my feet into my most authoritative shoes, black suede Prada pumps with a 3-inch heel. Then I took one last look in the mirror. Katie had been right. This dress was perfect. It was sexy without showing off. and my hair looked fabulous, and the jewelry was subtle. Fine. I looked fine, not slutty. I stood there a little longer, willing myself to believe it. Usually I didn't think so hard about these things. I liked to look sexy, and to be perfectly blunt, I liked sex. A lot. I'd never been afraid to admit that to myself. Not until last week, anyway. For the most part, coming to Harkness and getting out from under my conservative parents' roof had been liberating in all the best ways. In high school, sex had to be sneaky. It's hard to get your freak on when you're listening for footsteps outside your bedroom door. Or, God forbid, in the backseat of your boyfriend's little BMW convertible. At Harkness, sexy times weren't so fraught. And although I'd had to train my roommate Scarlett to watch out for the bandana on the doorknob of our room, the logistics were a lot easier. For the first 2 months of the semester, I'd had a blast. In September, I'd dated a freshman tight end. He had an 8-pack like you read about, and gorgeous muscular thighs. But he wasn't much of a conversationalist, so I'd had to let him go. Then there was Dash, who I should probably start calling the fullback who shall not be named. He was another freshman with lickable abs, but I broke up with him in November because he wasn't very nice to me when we had our clothes on. I'd meant to take a break from football players after that. After all, it was hockey season now, and in the spring there would be lean, muscular lacrosse players to cheer for and party with. But then a week ago I'd run into Dash again, and I'd done something so incredibly stupid that the humiliation was going to follow me to my grave. A few stupid hours had turned me into someone who second-guessed her wardrobe, her makeup, her life choices. My phone buzzed with a text. Evening. I'm downstairs in your courtyard. Andy B. Be right down, I replied. It was sort of cute that he'd added his last initial, as if I might have forgotten who I'd invited to this little party. Andy Bashnagel was a basketball player. I didn't, as a rule, do basketball players. The sport just wasn't sexy to me. Those long, baggy shorts and even longer arms. Maybe if I went to Duke or Michigan, I'd understand the appeal. Anyway, I hadn't invited Andy B. to this party because he was a basketball player. I'd done it because he wasn't an asshole, I hoped. And because I'd pledged to try Psy and could not show up at one of their events without a date. And for extra points, he had to be A, an athlete, and B, an upperclassman. With Andy, I could check both of those boxes. No matter that I was suddenly having trouble remembering why I cared about checking those boxes, it was too late to wonder about that now. I had a party to survive, and a guy waiting downstairs. It wasn't his fault that I would rather hide under the bed than face the people at this party. And I'd absorbed at least some of the ladylike manners my very proper mother had taught me. It was time to march down there and make the best of it. When I reached the courtyard, Andy was standing there texting someone, a smile on his face. He looked friendly enough, and he was pretty cute for a skinny guy. But still, all that attention to his phone was not an auspicious sign. I was sick of guys who spent the whole evening texting their buddies, calculating everyone's odds of getting some action later. "Hi," I said carefully. He still hadn't noticed me. His head jerked up, his face guilty. "Sorry. Hi." He offered me his hand to shake. "I'm Andy." For a second, I didn't step forward. I mean, what guy under 40 shakes hands like that? Recovering myself, I took his hand, which was warm even on this cold night. "Hi, I'm Katie."
"I know,"
he smiled. Then he shoved his phone into his pocket, even though it chimed with an incoming text. "Don't you have to get that?" I asked. It was a little bitchy of me, honestly, but I needed to know what I was going to be dealing with.
"Nah," he said. "She can stuff it."
"Who can?" I couldn't help but ask, even as his phone rang in his pocket. He grinned.
"My sister. Sorry. Let me get rid of her."
He jerked his phone out and swiped to answer.
"Delia, go dissect a cadaver or something. I'll talk to you tomorrow."
There was a pause.
"I love you too, even though you're bossy like Hitler. Good night."
I laughed in spite of myself. "I think you got the last word."
"It's only a temporary victory. She always wins eventually, But that's okay, because she's already doing me a big favor.
What kind of favor? Together, we walked out of the Fresh Court gate, heading down to College Street, toward Fraternity Row. I kept our pace slow, and it wasn't even because of my 3-inch heels. I was dreading this party.
Well, Delia is going to med school. Every Jewish family needs a doctor, see? And now the pressure is off me.
I laughed again. That was like twice in 2 minutes.
Really? Are your parents doctors?
Nope. Dad is an accountant. Mom is a librarian. But that doesn't matter. It's a cultural thing. The deli by our house even has a platter on their catering menu called the My Son is a Doctor plate.
But they won't be ordering it for you?
No. I might go to law school, though. That's second best.
Interesting. My mom doesn't care what I do, just as long as I look pretty doing it. I shouldn't have said that. It was really too much sharing for the first 10 minutes of a blind date.
Well, he cleared his throat. At least one of us is a shoe-in for meeting the parental expectations.
My face burned a little then, because I'd made it sound like I was fishing for compliments.
That's nice of you, I said quietly.
Do you just have the one sister?
Nope,
he said cheerfully, giving me another smile. When Andy smiled, his angular face softened up, taking him from ordinary to pretty damned attractive in one leap. It was kind of spellbinding, really.
I have another sister, too. Spent my whole life getting henpecked and waiting for the bathroom. I thought I came to Harkness to get away from them, but then I couldn't figure out why the freshman bathroom was so gross and smelly all the time.
See? Girls aren't so bad, I said.
True that.
We were within 100 yards of the Tri-Sci house now, and I'd slowed our pace practically to a crawl.
Do your feet hurt? Andy asked, looking down.
That made me smile, because it was so obvious that Andy did have sisters. My feet are fine. I'm just having second thoughts about tonight. That's all. I stopped walking altogether. Andy stopped too, folding his arms.
Yeah?
Yeah, I sighed, even though yeah sounded cheap. Sorry, Mom. He stood very still, studying me.
Look, he said, tugging on an ear. Is it me? I mean, if you changed your mind.
What? Oh, hell. I reached out to put a hand on his arm, giving it a squeeze.
Geez, no. You are not the problem. This is all on me.
But he was still frowning, and his brown eyes were filled with concern.
Then what's the matter?
Well, my eyes drifted toward the big white house on the corner. I'd always had fun there, but tonight I didn't want to set foot in the place. I'm pledging the sorority, and we just spent a whole lot of hours setting up a holiday toy drive. The party for the kids is tomorrow, and tonight we're supposed to wrap the gifts, which should be fun, right?
Sure.
But the Beta Rho guys are setting up our tree on the sun porch, and I really don't feel like seeing them tonight, that's all.
Is one of them your ex or something?
I let out a big, old sigh. Yes, but also his friends. There are several guys that I don't want to see. Andy looked toward the house, and then down at me.
Do you mind if I ask why? I mean, are they scaring you?
I shook my head. It's not like that. It's just... The moment stretched out, because there was no way I could actually tell him why. It was deeply embarrassing to me, and if he knew what I'd done, he'd stop looking at me the way he was looking at me now. His eyes were soft, and he'd given me his complete attention. He looked at me as if I were important, and I didn't want to see how that expression would change if he heard the stupid thing that I'd done. But he was waiting for an answer, and I owed him one, because I was the idiot who had us standing out here in the cold. Okay, I tried. My mother has a saying that you shouldn't do anything you don't want reported on the front page of the New York Times, and I've never been very good at following that rule, although I wish I were, because my ex and his pals weren't very nice about a recent embarrassing episode. Again, Andy's brown eyes darted over to the sorority house and then back, but his frown lost some of its depth. With what I just told him, he would probably assume that I'd gotten drunk and puked all over the place or something.
Well, okay. Going in or not is your call. We could always just go for ice cream at Scoops instead. I saw on Facebook that they made a new batch of salted caramel today. That's my favorite flavor.
I reached across to give his arm another squeeze. I like your style, Andy. And it's tempting. But then they win, right? Andy shrugged.
You could look at it that way. Or you could just say that life is too short to spend even 10 minutes with assholes.
Aw, this guy. I liked him already.
You are a very smart man. But I spent a lot of time on this charity thing. And if I don't see it to completion, I'm going to feel bad about that, too. So tonight I'm going to put on my big girl panties and give it a shot.
Fine. His face lit up then with another winning smile.
But if you change your mind, what's the word? Give me a code so I'll know when to help you bail out.
How about scoop? As in ice cream.
Deal. If you say what's the scoop, we're outie.
Then he held out his arm in that formal way, as if escorting a lady to dinner inside the pages of a Jane Austen novel. That was even weirder than shaking my hand. But so what? I took his arm, and in we went.
Chapter 3. Andy. Together we climbed a set of wide steps, passing a perfect row of rocking chairs on the porch. Until tonight, I'd never been inside of a sorority house. To me, they were mythical places, where the toilet seat was always down and the air smelled of flowers instead of feet. I opened the door, then stood aside for Katie. And then we were inside, and the place did not disappoint. Like so many of the buildings at Harkness, Tri-Sci had been built about 100 years ago. The big front room had high, beamed ceilings. On one wall rose an oversized stone fireplace, where orange flames licked the air behind an iron metal grate. All around the room, shiny-haired girls buzzed like bees. It was just the sort of estrogen-fueled chaos that reminded me a lot of my sister's. Katie tagged one of the girls on the elbow as she flitted by.
Amy?
She turned to look over her shoulder, smiling at us.
Hey, you look gorgeous. And have I met your date?
I was introduced to Amy, who seemed to be in charge. She rattled off a bunch of instructions to Katie at warp speed. There were tables to set up and rolls of paper to find and toys to wrap. Katie nodded along at this barrage of details, but when Amy moved on, Katie turned to me with a smile.
First things first.
She sidled up to a table bearing a metal tub full of ice, with dozens of bottles of beer nested inside. This was obviously not a keg and red plastic cup affair. Thanks, I said when she handed me a cold beer. What's next? You can put me to work. Honestly, I was thrilled that this party had a mission other than small talk or, God forbid, dancing. In high school, I was the scrawny nerd who never got invited to parties. Even though I'd grown into my long legs and stopped getting shoved into lockers years ago, I had never mastered small talk. And we won't even talk about what kind of dancer I was, because that way lies the abyss. College had been much more fun for me than high school, except for my non-existent love life. I was happy at Harkness. Although our basketball team kind of sucked, my teammates were happy to have me, and on a basketball court, I always knew what to do. I knew to always be ready to catch the pass, to find an opening and go for it. But at a party, it was like I'd never received the playbook that everyone else got at birth. A party with Katie Vickery was double trouble, because her hotness made me into more of a bumbler than usual. A job was just what I needed. Katie shifted her weight from one long leg to the other.
Well, most of the guys will be in that room.
She tilted her head toward an arched doorway at the side.
They're putting up the tree, but if you wanted to stay here with me, you could help with the wrapping.
For a second, I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't want to be underfoot, but there was something hesitant in Katie's expression, as if perhaps she could use a little backup. I'd just as soon help you if that's okay, I said. I knew I'd made the right choice, because the most beautiful smile lit her face.
Awesome. Then will you help me set up a folding table? Last time mine fell down on one end like a wounded camel, and all the Halloween pumpkins went rolling off.
Well, okay then. There was a stack of collapsed folding tables leaning against one wall. I grabbed one and let Katie show me where to set it up, which took about 60 seconds. Then I drank my beer while she went running off for wrapping paper and tape. The beehive was in full swing around me. There were girls on the old wooden staircase, wrapping strands of Christmas lights around the banister, and girls toting boxes of Christmas cookies through the front door.
Katie returned with three enormous rolls of wrapping paper.
I'll just grab the first stack of gifts, she said.
Are you sure I can't help with that? I asked. She waved me off.
It's mayhem back there. I'll be right back.
True to her word, she soon reappeared with stacks of boxes. They were rainbow looms, those things that little kids use to make bracelets out of rubber bands. Measuring the boxes, I began cutting pieces of Santa Claus paper to size. Functioning as an assembly line, Katie and I became a wrapping machine. I cut, she folded and taped. Working side by side made it easy for me to admire Katie. As she moved, her silky hair fell over her shoulder like a curtain. It made me want to sift my fingers through it, to see if it was as soft as it looked. And the way her dress skimmed her hips was making me a little bit crazy. In a perfect world, I would have loved to fit my hands around her waist. Down, boy! I lowered my head and cut another rectangle of wrapping paper instead. When every box was wrapped, Katie disappeared for a minute into a closet, returning with a towering stack of basketballs. Some of them were ordinary basketballs, and pretty good quality. Others were meant for little kids with cartoon pictures drawn all over them. Now we're talking, I said. Those are some lucky kids if they're getting these.
Glad you think so, she said. But they're not going to be easy to wrap.
I saw what she meant. The balls were in half boxes, which meant that one side would cave in a bit when we taped it. It will work, I told her. This is just karmic payback for all those years my mother had to figure out how to wrap basketballs for me in blue and white Hanukkah paper. Katie gave me a killer smile. Then she unrolled a long span of wrapping paper, this one in plain green. Then she grabbed a ball, there were bears on this one, and set its oddly shaped carton onto the paper. Hold up, I gave her the hand signal for time out. We can't wrap the kitty balls in that plain paper, unless you're putting name tags on each of these. The paper should signal what's inside, right? A guy who chooses the green wrap can't end up with Disney characters on his basketball. He's going to get his ass kicked. Katie's hands stilled, and then she and Amy, who was wrapping stacks of teddy bears nearby, both began to laugh.
Oh my God, so true, Katie said.
She swapped the ball for a plain one.
The bigger question is, did I screw this up? Should I have not bought the decorated ones at all?
I shook my head. Those are good for little kids, because the bigger kids won't steal them. No cool dude is going to bring a ball with pandas on it to his pickup game.
These are all good points, Amy remarked. And now I'm thinking that we should put age ranges on everything. We could write a sporty gift for up to age 6. Would that work?
She raised her eyes to me. Well, sure. While Katie's sorority sister ran off to find some paper to make the tags, Katie touched the cuff of my shirt.
You are really good at this. Thank you for helping.
I shrugged. I had lots of experience getting my ass kicked. I know all the scenarios. Giggling, she touched a warm hand to my back for a second as she reached for the tape. Every time she put one of those slim hands on me, I felt it everywhere. And she smelled incredible, like strawberries. I don't know what it was. A lotion? A fruity shampoo? Whatever it was making me crazy.
I really wasn't sure what to buy for the boys, she said, leaning over the next gift. I hope these have a shot at making someone happy. There were trendier toys at the store, like action figures, but I went with sturdier things, and I hope it was the right call. These kids don't get to make a list and choose.
I cut the next piece of wrapping paper thinking about that. Even when you get to choose, gift-giving is never perfect, right? I asked for a lot of stuff as a kid only to find out it wasn't as good as it looked on TV.
Ha! That is so true! My Easy Chef oven never baked the cakes all the way through. I just hope that something here makes somebody's day, you know?
It has to, I told her. There's something a little magical about getting a wrapped gift, especially if it's unexpected. The experience is bigger than the thing that's inside. She didn't answer for a second, and I didn't quite know why. But then she spoke, and her voice was quiet.
You're a smart guy, Andy B.,
she said, catching another piece of tape on her slender forefinger.
And we've been here an hour, and so far, I haven't had to use the secret code word.
Her eyes flicked toward the arched doorway then. The sound of male voices had been coming from that room for a while now. She didn't look happy about it. That offer still stands, though, I whispered.
And I do appreciate it, she breathed.
Eventually, we got everything wrapped except for one basketball,
a pink one, with ducks on it. This last ball had a torn box around it and a black ink mark on its surface. "What do we do about this one?" I asked. "Ditch the box? Tape it up?" Katie regarded it with a frown.
"This one they gave me at the store because it's damaged and because all our purchases were for charity. But I don't think I want any kid to get a damaged gift. That's just not right."
"Without it, do you have enough toys?"
"We do."
"Fair enough." I tore the ball from its box and tossed the cardboard onto our recycling pile. Then I spun it on my fingertip. Holding a basketball, even a pink one with ducks, always made my head feel clearer. The Christmas tree set up next door must have been almost finished, because the sound of male laughter grew louder, and guys began to wander in, beers in hand. Their new role seemed to be smirking and drinking. Katie kept her eyes glued to the gift-wrapped packages, which she was busy tagging. But I noticed that her body drifted a few inches closer to me. And I didn't mind one bit. I was flattered, honestly. If my job was to provide some kind of cover, I could do that. Now, nice guys usually got friend-zoned. That wasn't only true in movies. I was living proof. And there were days when that got depressing. But tonight, I was just where I wanted to be. I didn't mind being needed by this fabulous creature, because what a view! And these girls had good taste in beer. Really? Things could be worse. With her laser focus, Katie leaned over another gift tag, that silky hair cascading off her shoulder and into her work, where I saw the ends begin to adhere to the tape in its dispenser. "Hang on," I said, hooking the pale strands with my thumb. "You don't want to tape yourself to that present." Gently, I released her hair from the adhesive, and then there was nothing left to do but sweep the whole bunch of her hair back and over her shoulder, where I smoothed it down where it belonged. Her eyes locked on mine.
"Thank you,"
she whispered. "No problem," I said, but my voice was thick, because touching her had made my brain take a day trip to Atlantic City. I gathered up a stack of wrapping paper scraps and went looking for the recycling bin.
Chapter 4. Katie. So far, so good. The gift wrapping had gone even faster than I'd hoped. And Annie was good company. I didn't feel like I had to be on script with him. There was a social dance I'd learned at my mother's heel. Ask his opinion, Mom had taught me. A man wants someone to validate his worldview. Even at frat parties, between games of beer pong and funnels, I'd stuck to a version of the script. Flirt and dodge. Toss the hair. I knew how to listen in a way which expressed interest without giving too much away. It was exhausting, really. And tonight, I didn't have it in me. But it seemed not to matter. Andy's quiet companionship didn't demand anything of me. That was all for the best, because I was too freaked out by the sounds of laughter bleeding in our direction. Some of that laughter was almost certainly directed at me. Since the gifts were wrapped and tagged now, the next step was stacking them beside the Christmas tree, in preparation for the kids' party tomorrow. I didn't do my share, because I was putting off going into the next room. Instead, I grabbed another beer for Andy, and then planted myself right next to him. I looked up into his big brown eyes, and just let him ground me. "Are you ready for the exam in European paintings?" I asked. The test was in 3 days.
"Not yet," he said. "I think the Baroque art is going to be the hardest to memorize," he said. "All those dark canvases, they're blending together on me."
"True," I agreed. "I'm so far behind, too. I didn't make it to the last two lectures when he reviewed the final list of artworks. I'm probably going to memorize the wrong ones." Andy shrugged.
"I copied down the entire list in my notebook. I'll make you a copy if you want."
My heart gave a little bounce. Could you? This guy was going to save me twice this week, once from being dateless, and once from being clueless.
"No problem."
Across the room, one of the brothers stood on a chair, banging a spoon against a beer bottle. It was a beefy guy that they called Whitaker up there, looking for attention.
"Ladies and not so gentlemen."
There was laughter all around me, but I did not laugh. Neither did Andy, actually. Even as the chuckles died down, I glanced upward over my shoulder. He met my gaze with the world's most discreet eye roll.
"The girls of Tri-Psi ought to know that this year's tree was a 3-case effort. That's right. It took 72 beers to cut this sucker down and stand it back up on your porch.
There was another smattering of laughter, but I still wasn't feeling the love. Nothing was as light and funny as it would have been a week ago. To my new jaded eyes, the peculiar mating ritual where a bunch of big, strong guys put up a tree for the sorority princesses just hit me wrong. I mean, why couldn't we put up our own freaking tree? How hard could it be? And what were we supposed to owe these bros in exchange for their labor? Gah, I was thinking too hard again.
So come on in, ladies, and let us light her up for you.
He hopped off the chair and lumbered into the porch room. The sisters began to follow him. But I did not, because I hadn't seen Dash yet tonight, though I was sure I'd heard his rasping chuckle more than once. Rationally, I knew that I was going to have to face him down at some point. I had 7 semesters left at Harkness, and pledging the sorority meant that I'd encounter him frequently. I needed to just get past it. Yet something stuck my Prada heels to the floorboards. I just couldn't make myself go in there. And a full-body shiver started in my shoulders and worked its way down. A warm hand landed lightly on my back.
Katie, are you okay?
Yes? No? God. I spun around and looked up. Way up. He must be 6'4". Into his chocolate eyes. I think I'd like to go outside for a minute. He blinked once. Then, without a word, he turned toward the front door. Like a fool, I'd run out onto the porch without my coat, so immediately I broke out in goosebumps. But the cold air felt good in my lungs. I needed to calm down, like right now.
Should I get your coat? Andy asked. Do you want to go?
I shook my head. As stupid as I probably looked right now, I wasn't quite ready to bail. Geez, if I let myself get this freaked out about seeing all those jerks from Beta Row, what a long year it was going to be. Crap, I swore. Get it together, girl.
Are you going to tell me what's wrong?
As Andy said that, he draped his sport coat over my bare shoulders. Thanks, I stammered. I'm not usually such a drama queen. His eyebrows arched.
Well, maybe you have a good reason.
There was curiosity in his eyes, but it wasn't judgmental. I don't like the way they look at me, I blurted, before I could think better of it.
Why?
Right. The reason was much too embarrassing for polite conversation, so instead of answering, I just looked down at my shoes.
Let's just go then, he suggested. You look a little traumatized, actually.
That's when I let out a big sigh, because there were people in the world who had good reason to feel traumatized, but I wasn't one of them. I hadn't been raped or injured or abused in any way. I'd just been stupid. Very, very stupid. Ugh, I said. If I leave, I'm giving him too much power.
Maybe not, Andy challenged. What did he do?
After asking, Andy immediately clapped a hand over his own mouth.
Sorry, it's none of my business, but you have me imagining the worst here.
Ouch. Now a nice guy was worried about me,